Welcome to the Midweek Teas with me, Adele Onyango, where I share some random and not too random thoughts on things. And in this episode, I want to answer the question, how do I find myself again? Last week, we spoke about the hidden costs of losing yourself in love. We unpacked how slowly that happens, how we can begin organizing our lives around somebody else's needs, their preferences, their dreams, and then one day wake up and it hits you, who the heck am I? And I loved all your responses to that episode, but there was one question that kept coming up. How do I find myself again? And I actually think the word is find, right? Because I don't think you've disappeared. I think maybe you've just become disconnected from yourself. This is not only possible in romantic relationships. You can lose yourself in friendships. You can lose yourself in your work, your career, right? You can lose yourself in your business. You can lose yourself in your family, right? And so in this episode, I want to share 8 ways to remember who you are again. Number 1, spend time alone without trying to be productive. Your first thought is probably, oh, I do spend a lot of time alone, but are you ever actually with yourself? When you are going through your alone time, are you busy answering emails? Are you watching a series? Are you scrolling? Are you cleaning? Are you, you know, moving and thinking that it's alone time, but you're actually not being alone with yourself? You're doing stuff. But when was the last time you simply sat with yourself? I really treasure the moments where I will just drag a little blankie, especially when it's a nice sunny day, sit outside in silence, not carry my Bluetooth speaker, and just sit in the nothingness, not be on social media, just me and my sunscreen. Actually, the most work I will do at that moment is to reapply my sunscreen. Because I have eczema, so your sunscreen has to stay really close when you're in the sun. But I treasure those moments when I'm not trying to think about, oh, have I responded to this email? Oh, tomorrow I need to do ABCD. Have I sent this to that person? No, I'm just like, oh, wow, look at that bird. Oh, wow, look at that worm. The other day I saw a really wriggly worm. You know what I mean? And it reminds me of something that falls under the work of a psychologist called Donald Winnicott. And he believed that developing a healthy sense of self, requires the capacity to simply be, to exist without performing, to exist without producing, to exist without pleasing anyone else. So this week, let's make that happen, right? Give yourself 30 minutes of proper alone time. No agenda, no productivity. You can sit in the sun, you can go for a walk, you can drink your coffee or your tea in silence. Give yourself those 30 minutes and see what thoughts arise when there's no one else's voice competing with your own. Number 2, start collecting evidence of yourself. Oof, this one I really love. It's one of my favorite practices. You can use the notes app on your phone, open it up, create a note called Things I'm Learning About Myself. Then start paying attention, right? It could be, I actually love waking up early. I don't enjoy crowded restaurants. I laughed so much when I was painting. Or I feel calm near water. I've realized I don't like networking events. You know what I mean? Like you're collecting data. And the reason I love this one is this is how I started remembering who I am. I started remembering that I love putting outfits together. And I was like, oh yeah, I've always loved that. I started realizing how much I love nature and trees and birds. Which has always been the case, you know, specifically with trees. I started writing poetry when I was 12 years old, and my first poem was about trees. Yeah, guys, the love is deep. And I'd forgotten that. And recently is when I was remembering and I'm like, I've always loved these guys. You know what I mean? Start writing the things you enjoy. You know, it could be even a restaurant or a meal or a specific way you like your tea. These things might seem insignificant, but they are not. Please, they are not. Because identity isn't discovered in like one big dramatic moment. No, it's remembered through hundreds of tiny observations. Number three, revisit something you loved before adulthood became so loud. Oh my days. This I actually learned in therapy when we were working on my sense of self. And I'd been through all the crying and all the messy, heavy work. And at the end, my therapist, Faith, she asked me, let's think back to Adele, who was 8 years old, 9, 10, 11, 12. What were you interested in? Guys, I was interested in musical instruments. I was interested in fashion. I was interested in poetry. I was friends with everyone. Even at that age, different students would be telling me their issues. I was a healing space for so many people, even adults. As unethical as that is, like when I was, what, 9? And my parents were going through their divorce, my dad and I would be having conversations that he really needed to be having with a therapist. But I was like genuinely asking him, like, why do you drink? You're such a cool guy when you're not drunk. Why do you think you drink? Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? So let's go back to when you were 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. What lit you up? Was it dancing? Did you love reading? Did you love writing? Did you like climbing trees, drawing, music, making up stories in your mind? Because somewhere along the line, many of us stopped doing things simply because they brought us joy. And it wasn't because we stopped loving these things. Life just got busy. Or someone convinced us that they weren't practical or they're childish. We need to go back. And it's not to go back with the pressure of like, now I'm trying to become a professional painter or a professional dancer. No, it's just to go back to the joy, to the joy. And I found that joy is one of the clearest breadcrumbs that leads you back to yourself. Number four, notice what gives you energy. There is a psychologist called Mihaly. And they spent decades studying what he called flow, which Lucy defined is those moments when you're absorbed in something so deeply that you lose track of time. This happens to me on my drums, which is why when I know I have a busy week ahead, I always tell, like, I have an AGM with myself and I'm like, Adele, please, whatever you do, don't hop on those drums this week because you know all the work we have to get done. I could start drumming in the morning at like 9 when I enter my office. My drums are in my office. And it, like, the next time I put my head up, it's like 12 noon and I'm like, what? How? I'm like, how did that happen? How did that happen? I was in flow. The moments when you're so absorbed in something that you lose track of time. So ask yourself, what activities leave me feeling more alive than when I started? And the question is not synonymous with what am I good at? No. Or what pays well or what impresses people? No. What activities leave me feeling more alive than when I started? So it's really about the things that energize you, because there is where you will find your authentic self. Number five, start asking, what do I think? This sounds so simple, but you and I know that it is not. Okay? Like, you know, when you're thinking about maybe resigning or buying a new car or moving house or changing your wardrobe or buying a phone or whatever the case may be, you always start by saying, let me ask my partner, or let me ask my siblings or my parents or my best friend, or, you know. So what this habit forces you to do is to ask, what do I think? before asking your partner, before asking your family, before checking the comments, ask yourself, what do I think? And a lot of work has been done around this in psychology. One psychologist, Carl Rogers, he believed that psychological well-being comes from living in alignment with your own values rather than seeking external approval. Now, that doesn't mean becoming stubborn. It means remembering that your voice deserves to be heard by you first. Once you're clear on what you think, you can, you know, bounce the idea off of other people, but you and what you think and your voice has to be heard by you first. Number six, go on a date with yourself. And I'm so happy that I see a lot of women doing this now. I think it's so important, almost as important as solo travel, if you ask me, right? But let's start with a date. Go on an actual date, not running errands, not grocery shopping, not ticking things off your to-do lists. Plan something simply because it delights you. It could be a visit to an art gallery. It could be that you want to try a new cafe. It could be that you want to go hiking, or you want to watch a film, or you want to take yourself out for lunch. One of my close friends, she loves music so much, and live music is at that. She takes herself for concerts all the time. All the time. She might meet people she knows there. She might not. Doesn't matter. She is there because she knows something about herself. She loves live music. So she takes herself out on a date to concerts very frequently, you know? And while you are out on a date with yourself, try and notice something, you know? Try and notice, are you enjoying this? Or are you choosing it because you think it's the kind of thing someone like you should enjoy? All right? Lean in with curiosity and then find like, actually, I really don't give a damn about going to visit galleries. That's not my thing. I would rather go to a concert. You know what I mean? Just be curious. And I think curiosity, I've talked about this a lot. Curiosity is a huge part, or plays a huge part, in you remembering yourself. Number seven, stop introducing yourself by your rules. This is a serious one, especially in the African context, right? Think about how you answer this question. Someone asks you, tell me about yourself. Many of us immediately start saying, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a lawyer, I'm a business owner. Those things are important and could be very important in your life, but they are roles. They are not who your whole identity is. So instead, ask yourself this. If all of those titles disappeared tomorrow, who would you still be? And it's an uncomfortable question, but it's an incredibly freeing one. And one caveat I want to put here that I found while answering this particular question throughout my life, I think I first met it when I was resigning from my radio presenter and producer role. I really had to do a lot of self-work to be like, who the heck am I without this huge title and this job that is so glamorous from the outside in and the like celebrity status? Who is Adele? I knew I had to do that work, and that's when I met this question. But the caveat I will put is the answer, once you remove all those titles, can evolve, and that's okay. And that brings us to the last important one. Give yourself permission to change. I think maybe the biggest reason women struggle to remember themselves is because they're trying to become the woman they used to be. But that's not the goal. You are allowed to evolve, imagine. Like, you're allowed to outgrow dreams. You're allowed to change your mind, that part. You're allowed to discover new passions. And back to psychologist Carl Rogers, he once said, and I'm quoting, "The curious paradox is that when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change." It's beautiful, right? You don't have to earn the right to become someone new. All that needs to happen is that you just need to give yourself permission to evolve. That's all. Give yourself permission to change. Now, if there's one thing I hope you take away from this episode is that remembering yourself isn't one big breakthrough. It's a practice. It is a choice that you make every single day to become a little more curious about who am I? Who is this woman underneath all of these expectations, right? So don't pressure yourself this week by asking yourself, who should I be? No, just lean into what feels true to me. And in a very poetic way, I think that's how we start to make our way back home to who we are. That's how we start remembering. And if you're listening to this and you're navigating the end of a marriage or the end of a long-term relationship, or you're navigating another significant life transition, I want to remind you that you're not only grieving what you've lost, but you're also rediscovering who you are outside of that thing, you know? And you here's an invitation to you to join us at our upcoming wellness talk, Divorce Care. We're looking at when the marriage ends and how do you find yourself again. Our guest speaker is my therapist, Faith Guchu, and we're going to explore the grief nobody talks about when it comes to the end of a long-term relationship, and how do you rebuild your identity after that? How do you navigate family expectations or create a new support system and start taking those first steps to remembering who you are and designing a life that genuinely feels like it is yours? You know, I hope you'll join us. Our ticket portal closes on Thursday and the talk is on the 25th. Of July, this Saturday, and book your slot. It's at 10 a.m. East Africa time. It's virtual, so wherever you are, you can join us. There's no shame. It's a safe space. You can join with a different name if you want to preserve your anonymity, and you can also ask questions anonymously. We have a hotline during the wellness talk. I do hope you join us. I wish I had when I was in the trenches of my divorce. I wish I had a wellness talk like this to commune with other women who are navigating the same. So in the show notes, there's a link for you to book your slot to the wellness talk. Thank you for listening to this episode to the very end. And if it resonated with you, share it with someone that you love. Thanks for listening to The Midweek Tease, a Legally Clueless Africa production. Episodes go out every Wednesday, and you can learn more about us by going to legallycluelessafrica.com.